so we have to address the elephant in the room. We clowned too close to the sun yet again.
We did. We did. Once again.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait. But we love that today is officially pumpkin spice season, bitches. Happy pumpkin spice day to all who celebrate, or fall flavors if pumpkin isn't your flavor and you prefer the apple caramelly type flavored drinks. We respect you too. But hi, it's today, Thursday. Obviously, we're not recording on Thursday, but it's officially announced that Starbucks is dropping pumpkin spice today. So today is pumpkin spice day. We're recording on pumpkin spicy.
I went to Starbucks today and I didn't see it. What the hell? Okay.
But I am, as today in which people will be watching or listening, it will be pumpkin spice. But hi, I am your pumpkin spice enthusiast, Bethany. With me, as always, a fellow millennial woman. So by default, she has to like pumpkin spice. We love it. We can't help it.
Hello. I'm pissed that I went to Starbucks today now because
should have waited a day.
I don't go to Starbucks super often anymore because I got a grande and it was $7.
Okay, so if y'all aren't watching us, you should be because you're missing out on things like Michael Ann's cute new haircut. Hi, everyone. Look at her. Looking fierce. The color is looking phenomenal. The cut is looking phenomenal. She is a whole new lady. She's ready for fall. So that's the first thing. Second thing is, so we have to address the elephant in the room. We clowned too close to the sun yet again.
We did. We did. Once again.
We weren't wrong. Like, the Swifty community wasn't wrong that something was happening. But, of course, it was, right, like, the lamest possible thing, which was a music video. And, again, that's no shade to the music video. It's cool. It's cute. It's kind of what we all thought it would be, which, of course, is, like, tour footage, which is, like, kind of the laziest music video you can do. But it's not something she has really done often. And it obviously very much goes with the song. So, like, I am okay with it. And we got to see a couple of behind-the-scenes bits and bobs. Obviously, that diving in and her, like, on our little pulley under the stage. We're like, ooh, these are, like, cool little behind-the-curtain things. A lot of people are theorizing about a potential documentary. Would not be surprised if that is the case. Would be so stoked to watch that, obviously, in any which way. It'll probably be theaters and then $20 VOD and then inevitably on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm gonna watch it whichever way I can get it. The fastest way possible that I can achieve that goal, I will be there. I will be watching it. So I am there for it. We have a few topics today. One of the first things, though, since we are already discussing Taylor Swift, breaking news, right before we started recording, she did a little, like, Europe wrap-up post, which I felt like I was included in because we did see her in Europe. I don't know if y'all heard about that.
I don't know if you guys knew this, but
I don't know if you know, but I'm like, well, no big deal. So I felt like, you know, she was like, oh, the best summer memory. Thank y'all so much. I'll remember it always. And I was like, same girl. So that was beautiful. But everyone has been kind of on her ass since the Vienna cancellations about her not saying anything. And I'm sorry, y'all. But what the fuck? Like, obviously there was a good reason, and it was most likely, which she pretty much confirmed, a security thing. Like, the fact that nobody said anything. It wasn't like, oh, all of her dancers made a heartfelt statement and she was the only Bia who didn't say anything. Like, no one from the team said anything except Taylor Nation posting, yes, what, you know, basically the venue had already posted that the shows were canceled. This was the reason, yada, yada, yada. And then everyone else from her team was just completely quiet about it for like a week. Like, that's not for nothing. Like, come on. So it's really kidding me. I understand people that were attending that show. I understand them being maybe a little bit more upset. But people that had nothing to do with it were like, how come she hasn't made a statement? Blah, 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 blah. And it's like, for obvious reasons. Like, this was a much more serious thing than Taylor Swift. Like, this is a much more serious thing than a concert. You know what I mean?
Right.
And like, people's lives were literally, like, it's a very scary situation. And again, obviously, as she has stated, as so many other people have stated, I'm so happy that we were grieving concerts and not human lives. So, you know, all is well that ends well. Yes, it is unfortunate that what happened, that they weren't able to do the shows. I don't know if they're ever going to be rescheduled. It's kind of looking like probably not, which does suck for all of the people that were really looking forward to it. But yeah, I was just getting real tired of the people like demanding her to make a statement. And I was like, if she isn't making a statement, there is a reason. Anytime anything has happened, you know, that terrible tragedy that happened in Brazil, it was a few days. Again, I think because things were, you know, security situations, there was obviously it's an ongoing investigation. Once she was clear to talk about it, she talked about it. She invited the family to the show. Like, she's never proven to not be a decent human being at the end of the day. And so I don't know why all of a sudden everyone thought she wouldn't be. Like, you know, right. Some of the victims that were involved in, again, another really terrible tragedy in, you know, London, mm-hmm. were welcomed to the show in London. So it's like, clearly she has a heart, y'all. Like, I think it goes without saying that she loves her fans. She loves what she's doing. If she wasn't making a statement, there was a very valid reason. And now she has spoken. So I hope that we can all put that to rest. And again, super scary situation. Super sad for all the Vienna fans, you know, all the Austrians or anyone who was trying to go, people that traveled. You know, like, there are people that were like us that were excited to travel to Europe and have a whole thing. And honestly, it looks like they got some really cool memories still and had a good time. And I'm so happy for them. But also, I understand the disappointment. And my heart breaks for them. But at the end of the day, everyone was safe. Everyone still had some really cool memories made. And again, half of the fun of a Taylor Swift show is the community. And what a beautiful moment for the community. Like, truly, like, everyone, you know, singing in the streets and friendship bracelet trading and all of Vienna, like, welcoming in Swifties from ice cream shops to museums to this, that, and the other thing. Like, you know, getting a Swarovski crystal.
Like, I know.
Cool, like that. Only you can say that. Like, that's a unique thing to you guys. So that's, you know, it was very sweet to see how the community came together with it. So there's that. And again, everyone is safe. And at the end of the day, that is what is most important.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Those are my thoughts. On a happier note, though, less like sad news about terrorism. the things I never, a segue I thought I would never use on a spinnerbait, just so we're all clear.
Right.
But yeah, less about that, more about happier things. Let us just all briefly relish in what happened last night. Again, sadly, no Rep TV announcement.
No Rep
but
TV.
All of a sudden, which I saw a really good HD video today, and I love that, like, she wraps up the little, like, boop about So High School. And also, of course, everyone, like, expects her to go into Who's Afraid of Little Me, because, like, everyone knows this set at this point, because we've all watched Greeny live streams. And all of a sudden, You Can Beat the Heat If You Beat the Charges Too starts coming out of this little B's mouth. And everyone is like, hold the front door, Taylor, what the F are you doing? Taylor Austin Swift, what are you doing? And it was everything. Am I bitter that I was not there for it? Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm sure all 92,000 of those people are very lovely, wonderful human beings. But I'm just going to go ahead and say on record, they weren't deserving of that as much as I was thinking.
Fuck you guys.
Fuck you guys. I'm bitter. God, London is just so the favorite child. First Ed Sheeran, now this. What are your thoughts? Do you think that because this was a full production moment, like this was added to the set list, do you think moving forward it will be on the set list? Or do you think this is a one-off situation because Florence lives in England and she was able to come along and she was like, why not? We're not just going to do a surprise song. We're going to make a whole dramatic moment. Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I was thinking about that, but I do think that she will not keep it in the set. I don't think she's going to keep it in the set.
No.
Man. No, I don't think so.
Yeah. I don't think so either because it is so much with Florence. I mean, I guess she does Fortnite, which is a collab with Post Malone.
But in not a as set, much.
But not as much. And still, I don't know. Nothing's going to have the impact of, like, the moment when Florence, like, Welch comes out on the stage or whatever. Mikaelan, of course, as always, put her Gaylor glasses on and was like, what a gay performance. But let me tell you all. Again, I've watched this from, I can't stress, every angle, HD, low quality, whatever. Today, yeah. Watching this HD video, all of the bodies that have ever been on my body, and both of those women have two women laying on them. And I'm like, okay, hello. That's some gay shit right there. Like, that's gay. Like, what?
Yeah.
Interesting choice to make there. Unless you're trying to tell us something. So, yeah, I was like, oh yeah, you know, again, from like the first couple of videos, which I saw, which were very far away. And I was like, yeah, like I can kind of see it. And then today in HD, I was like, okay, I see you. I hear you. I'm picking up what you were putting down.
Yes, the whole performance was extremely gay. I was watching this like, oh my God, what's happening in front of my eyes right now? It was amazing. It was epic. Yeah, during all the bodies that have ever been on my body, not only is the woman laying on her, but she has her hand on her face, yeah, and she's like caressing her.
There's some caressing going on. Yes, that is happening. Wild. Absolutely wild.
So my friend is theorizing, or whatever, that Florida represents women and Texas represents heteronormativity.
That's a good interpretation. I can see that.
Yeah. I was like, oh, cool. Because like I want an explanation for why Texas is so heavily involved, yes, in this album.
Yeah, we have discussed this before, and I know people have some different interpretations. People are like, oh, Florida is Maddie and Texas is Joe, or this is that and that is this. But yeah, I'm down. I'm welcoming to all interpretations of what this could all mean. But it is strange that Texas and Florida come up multiple times on this album, like not just in that song. And I was like, what's it mean? Clearly, I don't think it's in the literal sense. I do think it is a metaphorical thing. What exactly that metaphor is, obviously we are not in her head. We do not know. But like I said, I'm welcome to all theories. I love dissecting all theories. And I'm here for it personally. That's all I have to say. So I enjoy. Oh, good. Honestly, it's just so good. And then the lights.
The lights were amazing. The end when Taylor's on her knees and then Florence brings her up and they get like this close to each other.
There's a lot of closeness in this song.
I'm just saying, y'all. I'm just saying.
Also, everyone, not to be... Well, wait, I'm going to let you finish your thought because my thought's going to kind of like take us off track and finish your thought.
No, I had nothing. I was just going to be like, that's two queer women up on that stage.
You're like, that's some queer shit right there.
Yeah.
So my thought about the song, the kind of like veering off that for a second, was going to be not to be like that person who's like, y'all are just realizing, but y'all are just realizing that Florence Welch is an absolute goddess and like can sing like an angel, because so many comments I was reading on like these videos as I'm like scrolling, trying to find every angle, was like, oh my God, like obviously I knew Florence had a great voice, but I've like never seen her perform live and I didn't realize like she was that amazing. And I was like, y'all, I've done been knowing. I have known this for years. Thank you, welcome. Come join the club. Yes, she is amazing. So I'm happy that hopefully, you know, good old Florence the Machine gets some extra fans out of this. That's very lovely. I thought she was great. And here's my second weird segue. Any other thoughts on Florida, No Rep TV? My only other thought is like, I know like some people are like some fan accounts are like, we're not getting it at the end of this year. And I'm like, I clearly have been wrong 18,000 times before, yeah, y'all, but there's no way she's wrapping up this tour and not announcing it. Like there's no way that we get to the end of December and we don't have some kind of, I'm not saying it is coming out this year, but I think that some announcement has to be coming about it this year. Like I just don't see, like last year we had what, like 3 album announcements. I just don't see like this year just being like, yeah, TTPD comes out and like nothing else. And again, I know we're spoiled as Swifties and like any other artist.
Right.
You get, like, I get that, y'all. I really do. But I just, like, last year in the Time magazine article to talk about it, and like, she could have like shot it down there and been like, oh yeah, like it's going to be coming at some point, whatever. But yes, she was talking about like, oh yeah, like the vault tracks are fire, this, that, the other thing. Like the fact that she engaged with that conversation at the end of last year leading into this year makes me think, you know, I don't know. I just, something, it's gotta happen at some point. I cannot believe though, truly, we only have a handful of shows left and it's just the same goddamn Reputation bodies.
I know. I'm convinced she's not giving us a new Reputation bodysuit at any point. Even if she announces it, I'm like
getting that same outfit.
I'm fully convinced. She loves to troll.
She does love to troll. She does love to troll. And she has to know what everyone has been waiting for, thinking about. That new Midnight's bodysuit, though. Ooh. So good. Obsessed with that. I was like, holding out this long to give us that? God, so good.
Yeah.
So at least epic. We have that going for us. So yes, mm-hmm. good end to the European leg. Excited to see these last few shows, except I'm not, because again, what am I going to do with my life once this is over? I don't know.
Right.
With that said, quick segue before we have a couple other things. We have quite a few things we're going to talk about tonight. It's been a busy couple weeks for like millennial woman news. What can we say? But with that said, since we are briefly talking about queer women in music, I would like to briefly bring up the quote-unquote Chapel Roan video, just briefly, to discuss, again, weird backlashy things. Are you familiar? Have you seen the video?
Yes.
Okay, I assume so. But anyways, it showed up on my TikTok because, again, the algorithm, like, knows that whatever. And so I watched it, and I kind of, like, was like, oh, like, I hope she's okay, because she seems very, like, not okay. And I've seen a lot of, like, responses being like, I hope she doesn't quit the music industry. Like, a level of fame that quickly is a lot for anyone to handle. This, that, and the other thing. And a lot of people being very understanding. But obviously, I've seen a lot of people, like, not being understanding. And all I have to say is sometimes you probably shouldn't post a video when you're, like, very upset and in the moment. Because things can be construed not great. If I were to give any piece of advice, I would be like, let's like think on that. Like vent to your friends, vent to your family, vent to your therapist, but like maybe pause for a minute before you post publicly. But with that said, I don't think anything that she is saying is wrong. And I do think the parasocial relationships are very crazy and whatever. But yeah, I don't know. Just thinking about redheads and queer women in music, I was like, let's just briefly touch on that video. Those are my thoughts. We have more, like, drama to get to. But first, let's get to a small victory for all of humanity. How many days has it been now? 13? 13 days since Joanne has tweeted anything?
Yes. I do want to say about the Chapel Roan video is I don't know what is wrong with me. But I saw that video and I was like, hell yeah, girl, you're right on.
And yeah,
then
go off, queen.
The other day, and then yesterday or something, Andrew's like, did you hear that she's getting backlash for that video? And I was like, what? Why? It's like, it's just like she's talked many, many times about how fucking creepy it is that, like, you know, she's blown up so quickly and now she has stalkers and now she has people threatening her life and her family's life and her parents. Like, she said her parents have been doxxed. People don't know where they live. Like, can you imagine, like, going from, you know, pretty successful but not very well known to, like, one of the most popular artists in just a few months?
Yeah. I truly can't. And that's what I think, like, people don't understand. Like, they're thinking it and of, like, she should be so grateful. Like, she was, you know, a nobody, and now she's, like, the hottest act in pop music, blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, no. like, two things can be simultaneously happening. And I was trying to thought, and then it just completely left me, which is par for the course, honestly. It's been a long week. But, oh, I know what it was. So I watched, again, a random video came up a couple weeks back, which was, like, so apropos. And the second it came out, I was like, he's so right, and, like, give it a minute. But, again, we love building up women so we can tear them down. I mean, like, celebrities in general, but particularly women. And this guy made this video a few weeks back, and he's like, it's so nice and so refreshing. And he was like, yes, I like Chapel Roan because I like Chapel Roan. Like, obviously, like, the whole character persona, and, you know, the songs are great, and it's, like, great, just absolute, you know, banger pop music, da, da, da. And he's like, but right now it's so nice because she's on the rise, and you don't see any negativity. Like, everyone is just, like, feeling it, they're happy for her, or whatever. And he was like, and that only lasts so long in a pop star's career. And it's like, yes, 100%. We want to build you up, build you up, build you up, and then we're going to tear you down. And I was like, yes, because, like, any other person, like, again, my algorithm, because I'm a Taylor Swift fan, is mostly positive Taylor Swift stuff. But it obviously negative things always creep in, or comments or whatever. Again, like I said, I feel like the last 2 weeks I had to hear everyone's hot take on whether or not she should comment about Vienna or this, that, or the other thing. And, you know, because again, when you're that big, people always want to celebrate and tearing you down as well. And it was so nice to like have a moment where you felt like everything you saw was just really positive about this person. And then the second I watched that video, I go, oh, that's going to change now. And that sucks. Like, we had such a nice moment. And again, all she did was like show raw human emotion and say something that is all 100% valid. Like, nothing she said in her statement was wrong. But yeah, people just have to be negative. Like, they have to find a reason to hate someone. When someone gets too popular, we have to start hating them just to hate them. And I don't know, y'all, it's just exhausting. Like, why can't we all, as long as no one is hurting themselves or others, just let people enjoy things, let people like things, and don't be freaking weird and stalk people just because they're famous? Like, I don't,
yeah,
it's weird.
She's also said before, apparently, I actually know this for a fact. I think she said this in an interview, but she used to say that once she got famous enough to have stalkers, she would no longer be in the music industry.
Yeah.
So, like, she's like, fuck this, and rightfully so.
Yeah, 100%.
I would have a hard time being famous enough that my parents' house was known to people. Yeah. Like, that's really scary.
I truly can't. I don't know. I don't think about this often, but when it crosses my mind what it would be like to be famous, I can't imagine a worse hell, truly. And I know that people are like, but they're privileged and they make money and whatever. And it's like, yeah, but there are a lot of rich people that don't have to get harassed and stalked and doxxed and whatever. Like, what is, yeah, that old adage, like, take the money, leave the fame or whatever? And it's like, yeah. Yeah. Would I like to have money? Absolutely. Would I like that money to come from fame? No, because that seems so like something that I could not remotely handle. I know I'm not strong enough to handle that.
No.
No, like, human being should be. Like, that's not, like, that shouldn't be a requirement to be famous, right, or whatever, to be able to handle the craziest stuff.
Also, like, if I became really famous, and I'm just going to say this now, because what if our podcast takes off and, like, we become really successful?
Dr. Pepper, sponsor.
Dr. Pepper, sponsor. But I was not a good person in high school. And it took moving to Florida when I was 21 to really start to, like, educate me about what the world was really like. See things from different perspectives, you know, get away from the bubble of Boston. So if I got famous enough that people were looking at, like, my Facebook from, oh my God, 2006, like, I'd be fucked.
I think about this all the time when they start pulling up people's things. And thankfully, again, I'm not saying I'm a perfect person. I've never been a perfect person. I'm sure there is something super cringy or super off color that you could, if you like went in the Wayback Machine and looked at my MySpace page or something, that you could probably see. I'm sure I said not online, but in person with people, probably said some stupid shit that I should have never said when I was a teenager, because again, all of our frontal lobes are developing and we are, you know, as a society, we are used to kind of, obviously, we hang out with our circle, right? You know what I mean? And so then it becomes an echo chamber and whatever. And you do have to get out of that echo chamber to, you know, learn different perspectives and become a better person. And that's great. That's what we want for everyone, is growth. But I am so thankful that from basically like college on, which is when I really mostly got into social media, that my social media was like very much on lockdown. And that was because, thankfully, as a journalism major, they were like, everyone is looking at this always. Don't get drunk and post something. If you like, make sure that you have to where you have to agree to have tags or something, because it might just be like you had a fun college party and your friend posts it or whatever, and you didn't even post it, but they can see that. So you accept, you know, you have to make sure you accept tags. And that's not the other thing. And that was like so drilled in on me that I was like, thankfully, it was very good from like probably like 18, 19 years on of age of like, being very careful about what I put online. Like, it was very drilled into us. Like, your social footprint does not disappear. And that's something that I think maybe more people need to know. Anyways.
Fame is scary.
Fame is scary. It's absolutely wild. But also, Dr. Pepper sponsor us. Again, sponsor. I don't want to be like famous, just like podcast famous, because that's like not real fame. Like, you might get recognized, but it's not going to be like we have stalkers recognized. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And again, I want it for the like, so it could be my job, not for the like fame aspect.
Exactly.
I just don't want to work for corporate America anymore.
Right. Exactly. But speaking of people who put terrible things on the internet.
Terrible things on the internet.
Mm-hmm. So during the Olympics, as I'm sure y'all know, Iman Khalif was a boxer from...
Oh my God, why can't I think of it? It starts with an A.
I thought it started with a B, so now we're
Now we're totally both wrong. She is from Algeria. I was right.
You were right.
It does start with an A. She's an Algerian professional boxer.
Yes. And the internet decided that, and by the internet, I mean J.K. Rowling, Elon Musk, and like Logan Paul or something.
Logan Paul. What a lineup of people, truly, right? Like, Jesus, the creme de la creme of the worst of the worst.
If you're speaking opinions and Logan Paul agrees with you, you need to rethink your thought process. Mm-hmm. You need to rethink your perspective on the world, because what? So anyway, Iman Khalif is not transgender. She is cisgender. But they decided that because they define what femininity is, that she is a man. They said, like, even when it was pointed at, like, even when somebody told J.K. Rowling, like, no, like, this is a cis female, she was like, she was still calling her a man, and she was still like trying to quantify like her femininity. And it's like, this is really the problem with transphobia, is it affects everybody. And now Iman Khalif got fucking harassed online, got her shit questioned. People were probably threatening her because J.K. Rowling was framing it as if Iman Khalif was a man punching like women in the face. J.K. Rowling's like, one of her biggest tweets that it was like, you see a man punching a woman. And it's like, no,
I don't actually. I see two Olympian boxers who are both female, cisgendered female, that is, who, again, I think both agreed to the terms and conditions of boxing, since that is what they do for a profession. And one of them, because she looks more traditionally female, and again, let's say it, there's also some great racist undertones in all of this. One of them, because she, of course, is like white, and like, oh, we always got to protect the white girlies. And she like cried and was like, a bad, poor sport gets like champion for some reason, which she did. In fairness to her, she did retract her thing and was like, I shouldn't have behaved like that, and yada, yada, yada. And again, I understand, like, emotions are so high at the Olympics. Like, you have trained your life for this. You're representing your country. This is a big deal. Like, certain countries, like, there's really big, like, you know, like, what we get here is a big deal. And like, you get on the Wheaties box and you get sponsorships and yada, yada, yada. But like, what you get in certain other countries, like, it could make or break you. Like, you could be, it's very honestly Hunger Games level shit, if I'm being honest. It, you know, it could either like make your life and it's gonna be really cushy, or it can make it really bad. And so obviously, like, there's a lot, you know, going into this. And I could see your Olympic dreams being dashed, you getting emotional. But how that turned into this poor little white girl got hurt by a man, like, I truly don't understand. And I was talking to my husband and I was like, you know, the last Olympics, which is crazy, I think was 3 years ago, because of course of the way like the COVID, it got postponed, whatever. When Simone Biles rightfully checked in with herself, had the twisties, mental health, could have actually like literally like very severely injured herself, decided like, for my mental health, for my teammates, so I don't like literally have a, you know, like, basically career ending or life ending injury, I'm going to bow out. people were so mean to her. And she did, like all she was doing was, like, checking in on her mental health or whatever. But then this little crybaby, again, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm not trying to make this, like, negative to the Italian person. But, like, this basically person has a little, like, mental health moment, essentially. And because she is white and looks traditionally feminine, everyone is like, oh, the poor little baby. And I was like, where was poor little baby when Simone was going through it? Oh, golly, I think I know why. And it just pisses me off so much. But yeah, this whole, and I just can't believe with J.K. Rowling, like, just not backing down. Like, the not more people were pointing things out, like, I know dumb people that I work with that are transphobic, or not currently work with, but used to work with in Orlando, that are transphobic, that are always posting dumb shit online, started posting it. And one of them actually did post a correction. And I was like, I am shocked. Would J.K. Rowling ever do that? No. But it's like, again, I just get so annoyed as someone who actually, like, grew up watching female sports and champions female sports and think that it's bullshit that, you know, the U.S. women's soccer team doesn't make as much as the men's, even though the women are dominating and the men have done shit. No offense, men, but, you know, and that we never talk about. But the second we think that there might be a transgender person, we all suddenly come to the defensive. I just want, like, female athletes to have a fair shake. I don't want them to get punched by a man. And I'm like, you don't ever talk about this matter. You don't ever talk about female sports unless you think that there's a trans person and whatever. And it's like, and also, like, so I think, what is she? What? Like, I just don't understand. Like, I love that everyone's like, well, it's okay because she wasn't. Which, again, like, she shouldn't have been bullied and harassed because she wasn't. But, like, also, like, so what if she was? Like, I just don't, like, they have certain rules in place. Like, there are weight classes and things like boxing. Like, they're, like, it's not like she would have really had some, quote, unquote, unfair advantage. But, yeah, the transvestigating, you know, as they call it, is just, it's so weird. It's so weird and, like, has to stop. And it's, like, such a strange thing. That people, yeah, like, you're just going around asking people what their bits are. Like, that's weird. And what bits they were born with. Like, that is such bizarre behavior. And just the whole thing is absolutely wild. And I felt so bad for her. Like, she's, again, like, we all cared about this other boxer and was like, oh, her Olympics were ruined. I'm like, but you don't give a damn about what you're doing to this person. And the fact that she comes from a country where that is illegal and these allegations could literally get her killed. Like, yikes, like, no one ever thinks about that. But the silver lining in all this is that, first of all, she did win the gold medal, which, right on, girlfriends. And second of all, she is suing all of them. And I'm just saying, JK herself has said on Twitter that she is ready and willing to go to jail for her transphobic thoughts. And I'm like, bet, let's go. Let's go. Send her to jail. She has not tweeted. This is fantastic. If this is what gets Crazy Aunt Joanne off the internet, yes, let us do it. I can't, like, I know we have discussed her before and her, like, random rampant transphobia and just, like, absolutely how off her rocker she is, but I can't trust this enough, y'all. She is a billionaire. A goddamn certified billionaire. And she spends her time harassing, like, cisgendered females about being trans females and on the internet. Like, that's what she does for her spirit. And I'm like, lady, like, go. If I was a billionaire, y'all wouldn't catch me online, okay? Because I'd be off living my best life. And yet this is how she spends her time. And I just, can't fathom it. I truly cannot fathom.
I know. And yeah, she's been doing this for a while. And, like, she just, as you said, like, she just doubled down. She never apologizes. She never admits when she's wrong. She just, like, holds true to her absolutely insane belief system that is not even remotely real. Yeah. Like, I can't deal with. And then, of course, Elon Musk and Logan Paul as well. She's also suing. Thank God. But yeah, Joanne has Joanne, who used a male pen name for some of her books.
Just saying, throwing that out there.
She has not tweeted in 13 days. So she's not tweeted since the lawsuit was announced, I think. And then she's gone through and deleted a bunch of tweets as well. So now she's trying to do like reconnaissance. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, Joanne, I thought you wanted to go to jail.
Yeah, I thought you were ready and willing. I thought you didn't care that you were fighting the good fight. But I guess you're just a big old pansy at the end of the day. Yeah. And yeah, that doesn't sum it up. They always are. They always are like, my beliefs, until someone's like, actually, I'm suing you over them. And they're like, I didn't mean it like that. But yeah, that original tweet was just, I have seen it. I have heard people talk about it. And yet every time I think about it, when she's like, that's the smirk of a man or whatever. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. Like, where do you come up with this stuff? Honestly.
I know. She's off her shit. Elon Musk is, I don't even know, like, where, I don't even know what word I would, I can't even find a word to describe that man.
Yeah.
I literally can't.
Elon Musk is the type of like real life villain that if you put into fiction, people would be like, no, he's too much. Like, there's no way. Like, this billionaire inventor guy then buys the social media network, then there's like this absolute crazy wackadoo person. Like, this is too much. Like, we don't believe this. And you're like, this is real life. Real life. He's out there living real life.
And like, he's never invented a goddamn thing.
Yeah, also, to be fair, hasn't.
Like, no.
It's just so, it's so wild.
It's crazy.
And yeah, again, just, I can't get over it. It's like Logan Paul. Logan Paul, Elon Musk, and J.K. Rowling walk into a bar. Like, what a weird setup. Like, what a weird group of people. All disturbing and disgusting in their own ways. But again, this is the one thing that clearly unites them. I don't know.
I don't know. I hope they get what's coming to them. I hope Iman walks away from this a millionaire, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Same. I hope she's like Iman. Set for life from this.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. And like, yeah, I hope that Elon Musk and J.K. Rowling finally face some real consequences, because it's, their behavior is disgusting and unacceptable.
Yeah.
But the other thing we wanted to discuss today, which also is about some sketchy behavior by celebrities. It ends with us.
Yeah, we got to do it. We have to discuss it.
So
this entire situation is so messy, and part of me like thrives off of that. And then the other part of me is like, oh, yikes.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like they started this with trying to destroy Justin Baldoni. They were saying horrible things about him. They were doing a full smear campaign. And then it comes out, and like he had to get a crisis PR team and stuff. And now it's coming out that actually Blake Lively sucks. And I'm watching all these like old videos with her, and she's like so rude, and she is like so privileged, and just like she got married at a plantation. She had a website called like Preserve, which was like preserving the South. Yeah. She had an article on that website about how fashionable antebellum women were, which were slave owners or the wives of slave owners, most likely. And like, she is just, apparently she's a nepo baby.
Yes, she is a nepo baby. Yeah. Her dad, so obviously, you know, the sister of the traveling pants, her dad in that movie, I believe, is her real life dad. So, yes. So he is an actor. I think like it's, I also though feel like her mom like comes from money and some like, they, like I just think she's one of those people that has like always had money kind of situation.
She looks like that. She has the hair of a woman who's always had money. Yes.
But her dad definitely, I think, is like in the biz. So that's definitely like a situation. Again, this is like one of those situations, and I am proud of people like, not everyone, but some people for again, just because we have like had so many like maligned women in the past and we are so always ready to like build celebrities up and then like tear them down. I am happy that like when things kind of started coming out, people were like, we're going to like, wait a minute, yeah, because like, we don't have all the facts. We're not just going to like immediately start tearing her down or whatever. I do think she deserves to be torn down for a lot of things with that said, but I am happy that people weren't immediately just like, oh, the king's a traitor. Because, like, again, we have seen this a million times before, and then it turns out that, you know, whatever and whatever. And again, I'm not even saying that, like, Justin Baldoni is, like, completely innocent in all this. We weren't on set. I don't know what happened. The two allegations that were thrown his way really aren't that bad, in my humble opinion. The right. more I'm beginning to realize it, which, again, is probably because, like, she was born with a silver spoon in her mouth, and, like, her life has always been great, so she doesn't, like, understand struggle. And I just think she feel for her to a certain extent on this, because I think as women, we are all self-conscious. I just think she's really hella self-conscious. And I think that when she's hormonal, that amplifies it, which again is not uncommon for pregnant women or for postpartum women. But it seems like this interview, for instance, which again, calling someone, you know, bump or whatever, is a totally normal thing to say. Like, people say that all the time. But I think she's one of those people because she's always been blonde and tall and skinny and can pay for a nose job or whatever. She motherfucking got a nose job, 100%. Again, no shade of that. I wish I could get one. But I'm just saying, she is one of those people who, like, you look at her back in the day, look at her now. She's definitely gotten some work done because she has the money to, and on, right on. Like, it's subtle. It looks good. But anyways, so because she's always been able to kind of, like, fix things she's self-conscious about, I think being pregnant is very hard for her, and being postpartum is very difficult for her, like it is for many women. And she just, like, got real defensive when someone called it a bump. And it's like, my dude, but, like, that was so rude. She's like, and, like, you're a little bump. Like, I literally have never wanted to tell someone to fuck off more than in that moment watching that interview. But then with the whole, like, Justin Baldoni thing, like, one of his offenses was that he has back problems, and so he asked how much she weighed. Again, I understand as a woman, especially if you were postpartum and you're, like, working off that baby weight or whatever, that that would trigger you, but he didn't actually do anything wrong. Like, he was just curious, like, maybe they would need something to help with the lift. And again, it's not because she's this big, ginormous person. It's just, like, it is not
a back injury.
Yeah, for, like, people to do things like that. Like, maybe use a little harness moment to, like, help out with a lift or whatever when filming a scene. Because, again, you're not just doing it one time. If you're filming a scene, you're doing it take after take after take. And if you are right. someone who's recovering from a back injury, that might be difficult. So, yeah, like, that whole thing was just, like, so wild. And then his other offense is, like, he lingered a little too long on a kiss. And it's, like, by your definition? Like, it doesn't sound like he got handsy. It doesn't sound like he was an asshole. I don't know. Like, again, it could come out tomorrow that this guy is the scum of the earth. Like, I'm not trying to defend him, but the facts that we have been presented, if this was a court of law of, like, this situation, and let me tell you all, I have been in it. I have been in on the tea. Like, every time a video pops up, I'm like, I'm gonna watch this. Because, again, like, it is a little fun to be involved in mess that isn't your own, but every time that it comes up or whatever, I'm just like, with the facts that we are presented, I don't think he's a bad guy. I don't think he did anything wrong. He definitely promoted this movie a lot more in the tone than it should have been promoted in. And again, I'm not even going to fault her 100% on all of that, because some of that is studio marketing. Some of that is, like, buzzwords that they want you to say. Some of that is whatever. It is very clear to me that the second the studio realized that they were going to have Deadpool and Wolverine, and then, you know, obviously It Ends With Us come out pretty simultaneously, that they were like, this could be our summer's Barbenheimer, like, let's build on that momentum. But, and again, this is not original thought, but I saw someone say, like, the problem is like, Lively didn't realize that she had the Oppenheimer of it and not the Barbie.
Exactly.
Like, Deadpool and Wolverine was the fun, silly movie. It Ends With Us was the more serious and tone movie. And that is how it needed to be marketed. And it wasn't. And the whole thing is just weird and icky. And also, like, I'm going to say, so I had mentioned before, I work with a bunch of women who are not the most, like, pop culture savvy. They don't have, like, their finger on the pulse of film Twitter. I talked to someone, and she's actually a dear friend and a listener of the show, but I'm going to make fun of you for a second. Sorry. I talked to someone who didn't know that Wicked was a musical, y'all. Like, she said to me, I'm so excited to see Wicked. And I go, oh, people are going to be so disappointed because it's not being advertised as part one, and it is part one of two. And so people were like, oh my God, there's another one when it ends. And second of all, and I was like, Hollywood's had this weird thing recently where they've been afraid to, like, market something as a musical. And she literally goes, it's a musical. And I thought she was making fun of those people. And then I realized she really genuinely did not know. And I was like, this is what I am saying. Like, people that have their finger on their pulse, people that are on quote unquote film Twitter or, you know, whatever, no shit like that. But again, it's based on a Broadway show. So if you're a Broadway nerd, you know that. But like your right. average American citizen, unless you slap it on the face with them, they do not know. Maybe a bad term to use when I'm talking about an abuse movie, but you know what I mean. But anyways, so apologies everyone on that. That was cringy. But anywho, so the point being, I am not familiar with The Book It Ends With Us. I've never read it. I do go to the movies though all the effing time. I've seen the trailer for that probably twice. The marketing budget was not high on this as far as that goes. For instance, Smile 2, I will see every time I go to the movies until it comes out in October. And I am counting down the days, y'all, because I'm so tired of that trailer already. But anywho, I saw the It Ends With Us trailer total of twice. From the trailer, I can tell you that it is about domestic violence. I could pick that up from the trailer. So I knew. But if you are not someone who's going to the movies and seeing trailers, and again, it wasn't a common rotation trailer, and you're only going off the marketing material, that's bad. Like, that's bad that it wasn't more obvious, because that can be so triggering to people. And like, I just can't even imagine. And so the other day I was talking at work and people are like, oh, I'm really excited to see It Ends With Us, because they're thinking it's the grab your friends and your florals and go to the movies. And I was like, oh, just to warn y'all, because again, I don't know what their life is like. And I was like, it's kind of heavy subject material, which is fine. Movies like that need to exist. But if you're going for a fun time, if you're like, are looking for a fun romantic comedy escape, it is not that movie. And people are like, oh, what do you mean? What's it about? And I was like, it's about domestic violence. And they had no idea. Not a damn clue that that's what it was about. And I was like, point proven. Yeah. So just a random polling of people in my office.
Yeah. The marketing was bad. Like, I saw in this deep dive, like, the original poster that was for Justin Baldoni's edit and the way he was doing it. And it was a much more serious, much more somber situation. But then they... like Blake Lively took over and it's like flowers and her hair care line and like her booze line that she sells. And like,
it's all just so.
And strange. She doesn't answer any questions about the domestic violence. Like she, you know, after all this backlash now, she's posted on her Instagram story, like, oh, domestic violence, blah, blah, blah. But she's like, this movie is not even about domestic violence. And it's like, that's literally what it's about. That's what the book was about. That's what this movie is about. That's what this is about. It's not about your fucking florals.
Right. And I know, like, her thing, I, like, on one interview was like, you know, the character is so much more than that, whatever. And it's like, yes, I get what you're saying to an extent, like, because you're a survivor of domestic abuse does not mean that that's what defines you and it shouldn't define you. You are a mother, a daughter, a this, a that, you know, whatever. You're your own unique person. But it's like, but you also can't, like, but there is also something really strong about, like, the whole message of this movie. It literally comes in the title. It Ends With Us, like, about being able to get out of that situation and whatever. And, like, that's not something you should shy away from, that you should be ashamed of your care. Like she was trying to be like, oh, girl boss power move. Like, she's not just that. And it's like, no, there is something so powerful about her being that. And, like, that is the message of this movie. And it's so weird that you want to shy away from, like, yeah. Yikes. I do know this movie got moved. It wasn't supposed to come out at this time. And so obviously, like, the hair brand thing kind of linked up at a weird time. Nothing you can do about that, I guess, but it's still just really awkward timing. But there's no excuse for the, like, Betty Booze, Betty Buzz, Betty blah, 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 floral party that she threw. Because that has done been out. And the fact that you're like, when your company throws you a girl power flower hour for your domestic abuse movie. And I'm like, ooh. Yikes. And again, I'm not even like mad at the like going to every event and like you do have a theme of the thing, whatever. Like, you want to go to the red carpet in a pretty floral dress. Yeah, rock on. Like, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But yeah, just the things people have been digging up. And again, as we said, if you were to go, but like, I don't want to judge someone, like, you can grow from it, things and whatever. But I just don't know. Like, half of these things are currently happening. So when you put the old stuff with the current stuff and you're like, but I'm not seeing the growth. And that is the problem for me. Again, I don't know what she's like on an average day. I'm sure she's a good mother. I'm sure her and Ryan are very happy together, little nepo, easy cush life. But literally, I just don't think she's a very nice person at the end of the day. Again, of course, as a Taylor Swift fan, everyone has been like, was is Taylor going to answer Patricia Blake? Is she going to hang out with Blake anymore? Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, it's not her job to answer for her. I don't think y'all listen to the song, but Daddy, I Love Him. Just like her, you know, romantic relationships, her friendships, you know, whatever. Do I love the fact that, but I'm also sure that Blake isn't mean to her. You know what I mean? Cause she also is like rich and powerful woman, you know, whatever.
Right.
I did see, again, I'm just always quoting KJ Miller because I see all her TikToks, but I did see her talking about the fact that she was like, honestly, I think she's like, and we all do this, like we're all guilty of this. If we are friends with someone and like they're really good at something and they have like a good way of messaging something, we kind of like adapt to that. And she's like, I wonder if some of it is like Blake being like, well, when Taylor does the girl power thing, it works really well for her. So like, let me try. And she's like, but here's the problem. Like, she's not good at presenting that message. Like in that old interview that resurfaced, and she's like, I wonder if they'd ask the men about their clothes. Da, da, da. And she's like, basically she's heard other women say that shit. And she thought she would sound cool saying it, but she didn't because it doesn't work for her. And this is why it didn't work for her for saying that. Because first of all, it's a period piece. First of all, it's a Woody Allen movie. It's so cringe. You worked with Woody Allen, Jesus. You know what? I'm happy I got his name wrong. Fuck that guy. But anyways, so first of all, you don't have a leg to stand on with your girl power shit when you're working with that man. Second of all, and defending. She also defended Harvey Weinstein.
Oh. She did. She was like one of the only people who did. Disgusting. Disgusting behavior.
Literally disgusting behavior. So that's a big yikes for me. But yeah, so it's like, first of all, you're working with him. Second of all, it's a period piece. So it's not uncommon for people to talk about period piece costuming. Right. And also, like, again, I'm not the first person who's pointed this out, but like that, this movie, all you wanted to do was talk about your goddamn outfits when you could have been talking about things more seriously. Like, all you do, like, her whole thing, like, she is more of a, like, wannabe influencer than she is an actress to a certain extent, you know what I mean? And yeah,
she's just famous person.
Yeah, you're just a famous person. Like, your whole thing is your wardrobe and whatever. So yeah, it's not weird that an interview, and again, the interview had other questions. It wasn't like a red carpet moment. She was just like, congrats on your achievements, what are you wearing? Okay, bye. Like, it was just it was one question in a bunch of other questions. So yeah, I just, yikes. Again, just yikes. I don't know. I try to defend women. But obviously there can be bad women, and she grew up in a life of privilege. And I don't feel like there's a lot to defend her right now. I don't think we're going to be seeing much of her in the Chiefs suite. Also, did you see everyone talking about how like Selena and Blake don't like each other? And people are like, oh, I wonder if like Blake's, you know, if like Taylor's not hanging out with Blake as much anymore because of all this drama, like Selena will suddenly pop up and then we'll definitely have confirmation that Selena did not like Blake. And I was like, ooh, again, I live for that kind of drama, but I don't think that Taylor Swift needs to like answer to any of this.
No,
like, I don't care. Like, it's not her. Like, it's whatever, you know?
Yeah, like, I was joking around, and honestly, this probably isn't a joke. This is probably really what's going on. But Tree Payne is probably like, no, bitch, you're not talking to her. You're not hanging out with her publicly. You are not talking about her movie. Like, no, you're not going to post any pictures with her for a little while. We are on, like, damage control. This cannot happen. Like, Taylor has, like, the best public relations team all time
in the history of ever,
and like Ryan Reynolds does too.
Yes
And it's like, what happened? Like, you have the greatest resources at your disposal, and
I saw this one video and this girl was like, I want to know what conversations are happening behind the scenes. And she's like, and I don't mean like the Tree Payne conversations, which I'm certain are happening, which like, yeah, for sure they are. She's like, I want to know like what she's like texting Travis. Like, yeah, Blake's always been, because like, you don't need, like, we, there are certain friends that you are friends with, but you're like, oh yeah, like they're a little crown. They do this, or I don't like it when they do that. And she's like, those are the conversations I want to read. She's like, it's Selena texting her, like, told you so, girl. She's like, that's the shit I want to read. I don't care about the like PR part or whatever. She's like, I'm sure that's happening. obviously, because they're all super famous people and that has to be involved. But she's like, but the side conversations that they're all having, she's like, that's the crap I want to read. And I was like, oh my God, so true. But yeah, it's been fascinating. Like, I don't know why I'm so fascinated by it, but it's just like that, like Drake, like, you know, Kendrick Lamar thing. And I'm like, I don't even go here, but it's just so messy. I'm fascinated by the mess. And like, that's kind of how I feel about this. And I'm like, I've never like been a bit like, I haven't like disliked Blake Lively, but I've never been like a massive fan. Like, I like certain projects she's been involved with, Big Sister, the Traveling Pants Person, you know, different things like that. But other than that, if you were like, name a Blake Lively thing, I'd be like, I don't know her hair. Like, I really do know her more for her, like her hair and her looks than anything, which I know is terrible, but that's how she's branded herself. And you know, it's made her a lot of money, so good for her. But so I was like, I don't really go here, but I'm just fascinated by all of this. And it just keeps getting messier. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I probably have anything like new to add to the conversation that hasn't already been said, but I just had to discuss
it. Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that Drake and Kendrick thing, they played Not Like Us at the DNC, which is a song that has the words certified pedophile in them. Yeah. They're coming for his throat.
They're did you I all, love it. Did you see that Lil Jon came in to, yep, to represent Georgia? I was like, what people?
Yep, that was pretty epic. It's like, what is even happening here? What's so even many, happening?
So many wild moments have come out of the DNC, truly. Some great speeches, some beautiful motivational, yes, speeches, and also just some really balls to the wall wild moments. Yes. And that's what I read this comment that was like, as a Canadian, I'm always baffled at the spectacle of American politics. And I was like, yeah, baby. Yep. Let freedom ring. We're effing wild. It's a shit show, but we love it.
It's a shit show.
We sometimes do. Also, everyone, I'd like to end, any other thoughts on anything before I end with a funny little tidbit? Okay, on a happy note, y'all, dear friend Katie, who went to Sweden with us. I don't know if you heard, I went to Sweden, but I went to see Sweden. So you didn't know, no big deal. She lives in Seattle, and we kept talking about when we were in Europe, like, we can't imagine living without air conditioning, you know, and whatnot. And she's like, yeah, like I do. And I was like, that's effing wild. And I understand for most of the year you don't need it, but whatever. And so the other day I was texting her to like have a little phone date, little phone combo. And she was like, oh, this weekend's kind of busy. We're renovating the basement, finally getting AC. And I was like, oh, congratulations. So everyone, good news. Katie has AC. So she's living like a true American now. And we're proud of her for that. So everyone out there, happy AC to all of you. I hope you all have the air conditioning. If you don't, get it. It's great. It'll change your life. Hopefully we are getting into the month now. It's pumpkin spice season is back. We're getting, this morning it felt, there was a chill in the air, and yes, I was ecstatic about it, truly. So hopefully, mm-hmm, we're getting to the time of year that we don't need to use AC. Everyone go enjoy your pumpkin spice. So like I said, your fall flavor of choice, and take care of yourselves. Thanks for coming on this roller coaster of thoughts, opinions. Two millennial women had lots of thoughts and feelings. Okay, thanks.
Bye.